Welcome to day 249 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland at Hidden with Christ Ministries, welcoming you back. And today we are going to continue in the Amplified Bible, reading from the book of Ezekiel. After today, we have five more days, and we will complete the book of Ezekiel, and then we'll be moving on into the book of Joel and Daniel and Ezra and the other remaining books of the Old Testament. And in actuality, we only have three more weeks in the Old Testament, and you will have fully completed the entire Old Testament. And then we'll be moving for the balance of this year through the New Testament. And so we have completed a tremendous amount of ground this year, and I congratulate you on being so diligent to go through the Word of God with me day after day. So today, Ezekiel chapters 31, 32, and 33 from the Amplified Bible, and beginning at Ezekiel 31, starting at the first verse. And in the 11th year, after King Jehoiachin was taken captive to Babylon, in the third month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, whom are you like in your greatness? Behold, I will liken you to Assyria, a cedar in Lebanon, with fair branches and with forest-like shade and of high stature, with its top among the thick boughs, even among the clouds. The waters nourished it, the deep made it grow tall, its rivers ran round about its planting, sending out its streams to all the trees of the forest, the other nations. Therefore it towered higher than all the trees of the forest. Its boughs were multiplied and its branches became long because there was much water when they were shot forth. All the birds of the heavens made their nest in its boughs, and under its branches all the wild beasts of the field brought forth their young, and under its shadow dwelt all of the great nations. Thus was it beautiful in its greatness, in the length of its branches, for its root was by many and great waters. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide or rival it. The cypress trees did not have boughs like it, and the plane trees did not have branches like it, nor was any tree in the garden of God like it in its beauty. I made it beautiful with a multitude of its branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied it, Assyria. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because it is exalted in stature and has set its top among the thick boughs and the clouds, and its heart is proud of its height, I will even deliver it into the hand of a mighty one of the nations. He shall surely deal with it. I have driven it out for its wickedness and lawlessness. And strangers, the most terrible of the nations, will cut it off and leave it. Upon the mountains and in all the valleys, its branches will fall, and its boughs will lie broken by all the watercourses of the land. And all the peoples of the earth will go down out of its shade and leave it. Upon its ruins, all the birds of the heavens will dwell, and all the wild beasts of the field will be upon Assyria's fallen branches. All this is so that none of the trees by the waters may exalt themselves because of their height, or shoot up their top among the thick boughs and the clouds, and that none of their mighty ones should stand upon their own estimate of themselves for their height. All that drink water, for they are all delivered over to death, to the lower world, in the midst of the children of men, with those who go down to the pit, the grave. Thus says the Lord God, when Assyria goes down to Sheol, the place of the dead, I will cause a mourning. I will cover the deep for it. I will restrain its floods, and the many waters that contributed to its prosperity will be stayed. And I will cause Lebanon to be in black gloom and to mourn for it. And all the trees of the field, dismayed, will faint because of it. I will make the nations quake at the sound of its fall, when I cast it down to Sheol with those who descend into the pit. And all the trees of Eden, the choice and best of Lebanon, all the trees that drink water, will be comforted in the netherworld at Assyria's downfall. They also shall go down into Sheol with it, to those who are slain by the sword. Yes, those who were its arm, who dwelt under its shadow in the midst of the nations. To whom, O Egypt, among the trees of Eden, are you thus like in glory and in greatness? Yet you also shall be brought down with the trees of Eden to the netherworld. You shall lie among the uncircumcised heathen, with those who are slain by the sword. This is how it shall be with Pharaoh and all the multitude of his strength, his tumult, and his store of wealth and glory, says the Lord God. Chapter 32. In the 12th year, after King Jehoiachin of Judah was taken into exile by the king of Babylon, in the 12th month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation over Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say to him, You have likened yourself to a young lion, leader of the nations, but you are like a monster dragon in the seas. You break forth in your rivers and trouble the waters with your feet, and you make foul their rivers, the sources of their prosperity. Thus says the Lord God, I will therefore throw out my net over you with a host of many peoples, and they shall bring you up in my dragnet. Then I will leave you, Egypt, upon the shore. I will cast you on the open field and will cause all the birds of the heavens to settle upon you. And I will fill the beasts of the whole earth with you. And I will scatter your flesh upon the mountains and fill the valleys with your high heap of corpses and their worms. I will also water with your flowing blood the land, even to the mountains, and the hollows and water channels shall be full of you. And when I have extinguished you, I will cover the heavens of Egypt and make their stars dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. All the bright lights of the heavens I will make dark over you and set darkness upon your land, says the Lord God. I will also trouble and vex the hearts of many people when I bring your breaking and trembling and destruction and carry you captive among the nations into the countries which you have not known. I will make many peoples amazed and appalled at you, Egypt, and their kings shall shudder and be horribly afraid because of you when I brandish my sword before them. They shall tremble every moment, every man for his own life, in the day of your downfall. For thus says the Lord God, the sword of the king of Babylon shall come upon you. I will cause your multitude, your tumult, and your store of wealth, strength, and glory to fall by the swords of the mighty. The most terrible among the nations are they all. And they shall bring to nothing the pomp and pride of Egypt, and all its multitude, with its activity and its wealth in every sphere, shall be destroyed. I will destroy also all its beasts from beside many and great waters, and no foot of man shall trouble them any more, nor shall the hooves of beasts trouble them. Then will I make their waters sink down, subside, be quiet, and become clear. Their rivers I will cause to run slowly and smoothly like oil, says the Lord God. When I make the land of Egypt desolate, and the country is stripped and destitute of all that of which it was full, when I smite all those who dwell in it, then they will know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler, who requires and calls forth loyalty and obedient service. This is the lamentation with which they shall intone or chant the lament for her. The daughters of the nation shall chant their lament with it over Egypt and over all her multitude, her tumult and her wealth in every sphere shall they chant it, says the Lord God. In the 12th year, after King Jehoiachin of Judah was taken into exile, on the 15th day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, wail over the multitude of Egypt, and cast them down, even her and the daughters of the famous and majestic nations, to the netherworld, with those who go down to the pit. Whom among them do you surpass in beauty? Go down and be laid with the uncircumcised, the heathen. They shall fall in the midst of those who are slain by the sword. She, Egypt, is delivered to the sword. They draw her down to her judgment, and all her multitudes with their noise and stores. The strong among the mighty shall speak of Pharaoh, out of the midst of Sheol, the place of the dead, the netherworld, with those who helped him. They are gone down, they lie still, even the uncircumcised, the heathen slain by the sword. Assyria is there, and all her company. Their graves are round about her, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, whose graves are set in the uttermost parts of the pit, and whose company is round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, who caused terror to spread in the land of the living. Elam, an auxiliary of Assyria, is there, and all her multitude round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, who have gone down uncircumcised into the netherworld, who caused their terror to spread in the land of the living, and have borne their shame with those who go down to the pit. They have set her a bed, a sepulchre, among the slain, with all her multitude, their graves round about her, all of them uncircumcised, slain by the sword, for their terror had spread in the land of the living, and they henceforth bear their shame with those who go down to the pit. They are laid in the midst of the slain. Meshech, Tubal, and all their multitude are there. Their graves are round about Pharaoh, all of them uncircumcised, slain by the sword, for they caused their terror to be spread in the land of the living. And they shall not lie with the mighty who have fallen of the uncircumcised, and who have gone down to Sheol, the place of the dead, the netherworld, with their weapons of war, whose swords were laid with honors under their heads, and whose iniquities are upon their bones, for they caused their terror to be spread in the land of the living. But you, Meshech and Tubal, shall be broken in the midst of the uncircumcised, and shall lie without honors, and with those who are slain with the sword. Edom is there, her kings and all her princes, who for all their might are laid with those who are slain by the sword. They shall lie with the uncircumcised, the heathen, and with those who go down to the pit. The princes of the north are there, all of them, and all the Sidonians, who have gone down with the slain. For all the terror which they cause by their might, they are put to shame, and they lie uncircumcised with those who are slain by the sword, and henceforth bear their shame with those who go down to the pit. When Pharaoh sees them, he will comfort himself for all his multitude, even Pharaoh and all his army slain by the sword, says the Lord God. For I have put his and my terror in the land of the living, and he shall be laid in the midst of the uncircumcised, the heathen, with those slain by the sword, even Pharaoh and all his multitude, says the Lord God. Chapter 33. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to your people, the Israelite captives in Babylon, and say to them, When I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from among them, and make him their watchman, if when he sees the sword coming upon the land, he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning shall save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any one of them, he is taken away in and for his perversity and iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his perversity and iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his evil way, and he does not turn from his evil way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you will have saved your life. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, Thus you have said, Truly our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we waste away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And you, son of man, say to your people, The uprightness and justice of the uncompromisingly righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. And as for the wicked lawlessness of the wicked lawless, he shall not fall because of it in the day that he turns from his wickedness. Neither shall the rigidly upright and just be able to live because of his past righteousness in the day that he sins and misses the mark in keeping in harmony and right standing with God. When I shall say to the uncompromisingly righteous that he shall surely live, and he trusts to his own righteousness to save him, and commits iniquity, heinous sin, all his righteous deeds shall not be seriously remembered, but for his perversity and iniquity that he has committed, he shall die. Again, when I have said to the wicked, You shall surely die, if he turns from his sin and does that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restores what he took in pledge, gives back what he has taken in robbery, walks in the statutes of life, right relationship with God, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins that he committed shall be seriously remembered against him. He has done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Yet your people say, The way of the Lord is not perfect or even just, but as for them, it is their own way that is not perfect or even just. When the righteous turns back from his uncompromising righteousness and commits perverseness and iniquity, he shall even die in and because of it. But if the wicked turns back from his wickedness and does what is lawful and right, he shall live because of it. Yet you say, The way of the Lord is not perfect or even just. Oh, you house of Israel, I will judge you, every one according to his own ways. In the 12th year of our captivity in Babylon, in the 10th month, on the 5th day of the month, a man who had escaped out of Jerusalem came to me, Ezekiel, saying, "The city, Jerusalem, is taken." Now the hand of the Lord had been upon me in the evening before this one who had escaped came, and he had opened my mouth in readiness for the fugitives coming to me in the morning, and my mouth was opened, and I was no longer dumb. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Son of man, those back in Palestine who inhabit those wastes of the ground of Israel are saying, 'Abraham was only one man, and he inherited the land. But we are many. The land is surely given to us to possess as our inheritance.' Therefore say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, you eat meat with the blood as an idolatrous rite, and lift up your eyes to your filthy idols and shed blood. Shall you then possess the land? You stand upon your sword as your dependence. You commit abominations, and each of you defiles your neighbor's wife. Shall you then possess the land? Say this to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely those who are in the waste places shall fall by the sword, and him that is in the open field will I give to the beasts to be devoured, and those who are in strongholds and in caves shall die by pestilence. And I will make the land of Israel a desolation and a waste, and her proud might shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be so desolate that no one will pass through them. Then shall they know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, when I have made the land a desolation and a waste because of all their abominations which they have committed. As for you, son of man, your people who talk of you by the walls and in the doors of the houses say to one another, everyone to his brother, come and hear what the word is that comes forth from the Lord. And they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear the words you say, but they will not do them. For with their mouths they show much love, but their hearts go after and are set on their idolatrous greed for gain. Behold, you are to them as a very lovely love song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words but do not do them. When this comes to pass, for behold, it will come, then shall they know, understand, and realize that a prophet has been among them." This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. In the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, we heard the Lord speaking to Ezekiel and saying to him, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord at my mouth and give them warning from me." And then the Lord went on to say that when I say to a wicked person this, and you warn that wicked person to turn from his evil way, and he doesn't turn away, then that person will die in his sin, but you will have saved your life. But if you don't warn that person when I've told you to do it, then you are guilty. And the blood of that person who died in his sin and went to hell is on your shoulders. So the Lord gave Ezekiel the prophet a very, you could say, heavy burden. The burden of making sure that he was warning the people of Israel about their lives and about their relationship with God and about their eternity. And God also brings up here this same concept that we discussed previously when we read the 18th chapter, that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but his desire is that the wicked person turns from his evil way and repents and turns to the Lord, and that God is able to extend forgiveness and mercy to him and cleanse him of his sin if he turns. And so we see that God's heart's desire is to extend grace, mercy, and forgiveness to people. But how will people in our world even know that God's grace and mercy and forgiveness are available if there's no one to give them that warning that there is a God, that there is an eternity, that there is a life after death? And that is essentially what the Lord was telling Ezekiel for his own life. But I want to say to you that this is also a responsibility that's incumbent upon every Christian, not just the preacher, not just some apostle, some bishop, some pastor, but upon every person who's given their life to Christ, who's experienced the new birth, who knows what it's like to have been dead in sin and then given the mercy and forgiveness and grace of God and been given a new life by Christ Jesus, and knows what it is to have the security, the knowledge, the inner knowing that when you die, you will be with the Lord, and that there is an eternity in heaven to look forward to. But people who go on in their sin and are of no recognition of God at all, they are just like blind sheep heading for a cliff that they don't even know is there. So Ezekiel personally was given this charge, that he was a watchman on the wall, that it was his responsibility to warn people about their wickedness and to encourage them to turn to the Lord and to exhort them to cry out to God. But it is not only the responsibility of the prophet, the priest, the minister. It is the responsibility of everyone who has received this awesome gift of new life in Christ. Warning people is a job that everyone is called to. Now, obviously, you have to be wise in how you talk to people about the Lord. You have to be spirit-led. You have to be living the life, not just talking about it. Oftentimes, Christians will be perhaps in their workplace, and yet their actions, their behavior doesn't in any way reflect a life that's been changed by Jesus Christ. Maybe they publicly sin. Maybe they lose their temper on the phone with clients or customers. Maybe they gossip in the workplace. Maybe they complain about the management. Maybe they come every single day late to work and do poor work and leave early. And they are not what you would say a good witness for the Lord. Yet, if any religious discussion comes up, they're the first one that feel compelled to witness. And yet, if any unbeliever looked at them and looked at their lifestyle and their behavior in the workplace, they would have never known they were Christian, or they will say, if that's what Christians are like, I don't want to be one of them. So we have to really be wise when we witness for the Lord. Let God be seen in your life before you even talk about him. I have observed this, that a non-believer can tell the difference in someone who never says a word about their lifestyle and about who they are before they even share that they're a Christian. And then they'll go, oh, I knew something was different about you, just because of who they are, who they have become, how they conduct themselves, and what emanates from their lives, love, forgiveness, grace, very much careful to do what is right in the sight of God and man. Let your witness speak for itself from your life, but there's no doubt we are called to be a witness for the Lord, for the sake of other people. Warning people from impending doom really is a responsibility that we have, though we must do it with wisdom. It reminds me of a story that I heard about a tremendous hurricane that was coming toward the coast of Mississippi back in 1969. And the weather forecasters had been announcing it for days that it was going to be one of the worst storms that had ever hit the coast of Mississippi. The people who live near the coast should absolutely evacuate because the winds were increasing in speed. The surf that was going to be whipped up by the stormy wind was going to be very high, and that the danger to any building that was near the coastline was very, very serious, and that people would be losing their lives if they did not evacuate. Well, there was a group of people who decided they were going to ride out the storm by having a hurricane party and just drink their way through it, and then they fully expected to live to tell about it. So what happened was that these people were in a certain three-story apartment building that was 250 feet from the sand, directly in line with the direction that that storm was going to come ashore in Mississippi. So the police chief of that town pulled up sometime after dark to this particular apartment complex. Everywhere in the town was deserted. People had heeded the warning and gotten out of town. But there were people, obviously from the lights and the noise, the police chief could tell there's people in this apartment complex. So when he pulled his cruiser up to that apartment complex, a man with a drink in his hand came out on the second floor balcony, waved to him, and the police chief yelled up, "You need to clear out of here as quickly as you can. The storm is getting worse." But then more people came out on the balcony with their drinks and laughed at the order of this police chief. One of them, in his drunken state, said, "This is my land. If you want me off, you'll have to arrest me." But of course, the police chief wasn't going to arrest the man for not evacuating, but he wasn't able to persuade them to leave either. He wisely wrote down the names of the next of kin of all 20 of those people who were gathered to party through the storm. They all laughed as he took their names and the names of their next of kin. They had been duly warned, but they had no intention of leaving. About 10:15 that night, the front wall of that storm came ashore, and the scientists clocked the wind speed of that hurricane at 205 miles per hour. At that point, it was the strongest winds on record to hit the coast of Mississippi. The raindrops were hitting with the force of bullets, and the waves off the Gulf Coast crested between 22 and 28 feet high. When it was all over, the next morning the sun came up, there was nothing left of that three-story apartment building except the foundation. All the people at that hurricane party had disappeared. The only survivor left was a 5-year-old boy who was found clinging to a mattress. They were warned. The police chief did his duty. Though he was unable to convince these people to take heed to the warnings and flee for their lives, The responsibility was no longer upon his head, because as a watchman appointed for that job of protecting people, he had warned them and they had refused to take the warning. So he was not guilty of anything. The responsibility went back to those people and their individual choices that they made. When God calls us to be watchmen on the wall, so to speak, and to warn people of the reality of eternity, when you have gently, wisely, with the Spirit of God, spoken to people, encouraged them to think about the reality of eternity and the reality of their lives and the reality of God and the beauty of God's free gift that he offers of grace, forgiveness, mercy, and a new life in Christ. When you have done that, even if the people do not respond like these people that were killed in that storm, the responsibility is no longer yours. That's what Ezekiel was told by the Lord. If you've warned them, then their own sin is upon their own head. Their blood is not on your hands. It's not on you, because you have done what I asked you to do. And so it is with us. We can't always convince people that there is a God, that there is an eternity, that there is a judgment, that there is a day when God asks you whether you accepted his free gift or whether you lived without God all your life. That is an individual responsibility before the Lord. So we're not responsible when people don't respond. We're just responsible to share the truth and the love of God with people as he makes that opportunity available to us. We are responsible to pray, though. That is for sure. Let us be people who are watchmen on the wall. We are praying for those who don't know Christ. We are witnessing for Christ through our life, through our actions, through the way we treat people, and through our words as God directs us. Be wise in doing it, but I tell you, God will make it very clear to people when they see your life with Christ in it that you have something different about you. And people will ask you, what is it about you that's different? And that will give you an open door to speak about the love of God. So consider these things and take seriously the responsibility that we have as believers to be watchmen on the wall for a dying world. God bless you and give you a victorious week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.